You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Well, we left our homes up in Bristol Bay for the waters of Miami shore. With a hippo at the helm and our severance pay, we fly the pirate flag once more. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Well, the ship is a wreck, shit stains the deck as Michael Hollow's fellas make more. And Billy is a worry that he's got the scurvy, cause Chris ate all the limes in store. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Now Roy is a chum when he's on the rum, he's the glue when we spring a leak. And Stu is a mess, he does less and less, and Greg's sounding worse each week. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Someone yelled ahoy, who the hell's cabin boy? Somebody named Tony, who knows? Once we got the skip, well, a mean jump ship, cause he knew we would sail to gold. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. For the Pirate Radio.
Follow David Sampson on Twitter at David P. Sampson. Support his podcast, Nothing Personal. Always doing well in the charts. David, congrats to you. Let's talk some baseball. And remember last year, I told you I kind of dug the weird mutation of a season because every game seemed important. I'm of the school of thought that there are far too many Major League Baseball games, but there was positive momentum. I had watched more baseball than I had watched in five previous years. David, I am sad to report that I'm just not feeling the normal baseball season. I kind of like the mutated bastardization of a Major League Baseball season in which it's a sample that's far too short compared to previous seasons. The games don't feel that important to me. And it's just day in, day out over the course of several months, and I just don't have the time for it anymore. Are you hearing this from casuals?
No, I'm curious why you feel this way, because you don't have to sit and watch a game from start to finish. You don't have to watch every game every day. But isn't it comforting to know, like a blanket, that no matter what, there's a baseball game on any time of day, any day? Doesn't that matter? I think that's what baseball goes for. Just people to pop in, check out what's going on. But then when you get an alert, like about a no-hitter like last night, doesn't it make you want to go on the network and watch the end of the White Sox game?
You know what? I think I can describe to you what's happening. And no, it doesn't feel like a warm blanket to me unless I'm an avid gambler, which I am, but not so much anymore. There's a lot more competition now, I think. There are days, more often than not, that the Heat, the Panthers, and the Marlins are playing at a similar time. And if I got a 3-TV setup, which I am not the norm, by the way, I'm prioritizing. I'm going family-friendly movie on the main TV with the sound up, and then on the 2 TVs, I'm going Panthers and Heat probably, and the Marlins are third in that priority. When they don't have any competition, they'll make it on that TV. With all the sports in season at the exact same time, I'm prioritizing my time, and I'm just not as excited about baseball. Has there been any talk to maybe learning some more lessons from last year and shortening the season to recapture the excitement of every game meaning just a little bit more than it does presently?
No, there's too much money at stake. We talked about going to 154 down from 162. And we were fighting with the large market teams who didn't want to lose four home games and talking about how they would be, how they would make up their money from losing four home games. And you had the broadcast partners locally who said, hey, 154 is okay because we only are guaranteed 150 in most of the deals, but no deal was able to be cut with large market teams to make them whole. But when you talk about prioritizing your TVs, I love where your head's at. I'm picturing you with three TVs. You've got your movie in the big one and then Panthers Heat. That is why I quietly rooted for the Panthers and Heat to get eliminated as quickly as possible, because I recognized in the early months, April, May, that's when we had to win games in order to be relevant once we could be on your TV. Because the real problem comes if you don't have a good season and then the Heat and the Panthers are done and you have that window before the Dolphins start, but your team sucks, then you've got a big movie on the big TV and you've got CNBC on the small TV and you've got The View on the other small TV. And that's what we have to try to avoid.
You have basketball and hockey. Their seasons, their regular seasons are winding down, and the Heat and Panthers are primed for playoff runs there. And I haven't quite figured out what this Marlins team is yet. I'd be more inclined if it was like a 60-game season to watch, because I'd realize that, heck, looking at their record right now, they might be out of it. But now there's plenty of time for them to get into it. I'm going to welcome in Chris Cody, who is a massive baseball fan, and he's in studio. Welcome back, Chris Cody.
Feels good to be here. I can see you. I can almost touch you, but I'm not going to touch you. What I'm thinking, hearing you guys talk, is there ever a movie on mute in your three TV setup? Like, what movies can you watch on mute, David?
Wow, that's a great question.
They have to be action movies, right? Like any of the Marvel movies you can watch on mute because you're just watching the action take place. You can't exactly watch Waiting for Godot on mute or Fences or any of these movies that have great dialogue, right? So I watch sports on mute, though, much more often than movies, because I found announcers don't always necessarily know what they're saying or know more than I do about the particular game, and I don't really want to hear them talk about stuff that I know is not true. So I tend to watch sports on mute way more often than most people.
Oddly enough, there's one thing that I watch on mute almost universally that I've never really seen with the sound on, and it's Charmed. And basketball fans know where I'm coming with this, because often Charmed would play on the mornings in TNT after a late night of playoff basketball. And it'd just be on there while I'm doing my work on mute. To answer your question, Chris, movies that I can watch on mute are movies that I could quote, right, basically start to finish. If Home Alone's up there, if Dumb and Dumber is up there, Pull Over. No, it's a Cardigan. Thanks for noticing. Big Gulps. Huh? I can do the entire movie. I can watch that movie on mute because I can say the screenwriting.
Yes.
I can see it in my mind as it's happening.
Do you know an entertainment nugget is that people fight to be the morning show, to have that category, that time frame following a sporting event the night before, because everybody does what you do. They fall asleep with the TV on, or they just turn it off. And then when they turn it on in the morning, you're watching something. And very often this happens in the clubhouse. It's so funny you mentioned Charmed, other than the obvious things that go with that show, which was mediocre with a capital M. It's on in the clubhouse. When I would get to the clubhouse in the mornings, because I would come and get a little bite to eat before the players would get there, when I'd get into the office after a game, all the TVs are on, and they had all been on the game channel the night before or on other channels. Sometimes you watch basketball after a game. So Charmed would be on all the time in the food room in the clubhouse.
What's the best memory you have of a player being like the first guy in the clubhouse? When I say first guy in at the clubhouse, who's the player you think of with the Marlins?
Ichiro was always early because he had such a routine that he had to follow. So he had all these crazy workout machines that he would do to get ready. So he came early. Tom Kohler was an early guy because he liked getting the free food.
The big salad.
Yeah, he liked the free food. So some of the players, it depends what city. No one comes early in New York, as an example. No one gets to Citi Field early because it's just not good enough. The surroundings aren't good enough. No one wants to be there early. No one gets to the park early. Back in Montreal, no one got to the park early in Montreal.
Who gets to
Chicago? Never.
Who got to the field the latest with the Marlins regularly?
That's a great question, Chris.
Hanley.
I was gonna say Hanley and Cabrera. Damn it.
You should have done it. I didn't even have to pause. Those guys, they would pay attention to what the time was when their BP group was. and they would always want to be in the last BP group. And we'd have a time for stretch, and they'd have to be there for stretch. But they would saunter in. God bless Miggy. He came in quite a few times in yesterday's close.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
I find it so odd in your Marlins history that you guys had Barry Bonds on staff when it was kind of thought that he was shadow banned by Major League Baseball.
He was.
Yeah, he was. Can you speak to the process of actually bringing Barry Bonds back to baseball in a formal capacity? Did you hear from other people in Major League Baseball kind of hinting at you shouldn't be doing this? Tell us the story of hiring Barry Bonds.
Have we never spoken about the Barry Bonds situation?
We've spoken about Barry Bonds, and it doesn't sound like you guys held him in that positive a light. You didn't really enjoy your experience from what I've gathered from what you've talked about, but we haven't gone into depth with it, and I'd like to start at the beginning.
So Jeffrey, when we're not hitting well, Jeffrey wants a new hitting coach. When we're not pitching well, he wanted a new pitching coach. When we don't do well in games, he wants a new manager. So that's why we had all those changes over the years in those capacities. And Jeffrey had a relationship with Bonds since forever, including in 03 when we beat the Giants. And he had met him, and he always respected him as the player he was. Never really focused on the steroid part of it. Didn't really want to talk to me about that. Didn't want to acknowledge that Bonds was on steroids. When I went to the Hall of Fame, when Andre Dawson got elected into the Hall of Fame, and I looked at Barry Bonds' old helmets, and they were so much smaller than they were currently. You know, it's just, it's funny. It's a guarantee. But Jeffrey didn't care about that. And he always felt badly that Barry Bonds did not have a place in baseball. And he was, you say shadow banned. I've never heard that expression before. It's not collusion. It's just that no one wanted to hire him because the juice wasn't worth the squeeze in any possible way. You weren't selling tickets because of him. All you were doing was getting a distraction. So Jeffrey comes into the office and tells us that we're hiring Barry Bonds. And I said, is there any chance that we cannot do this? Let me speak to the commissioner. Let me just make sure that everything's okay here.
Let's pause right here, because your first inkling was to say no to this out of left field, no pun intended, suggestion by Jeffrey Loria. Why was it no?
Because I didn't think that he was capable of being a hitting coach, and I didn't think he would work hard enough to be a hitting coach, and I didn't think he cared to be a hitting coach. I thought, and this was with before even interviewing him, I thought that this was just going to be about him trying to get back into the game to get into the Hall of Fame, which was his goal. Sort of like Joe West, right? Sort of what he's trying to do, is get into the Hall of Fame.
Great
and
answer.
Get people to recognize him.
Great answer. Thank you for your honesty. All right. So then you're like, I got to run this by the commissioner. So how does that go?
So I make a call and I say, listen, Jeffrey wants to hire Bonds. And do you have an issue with that? And I was told, no, there's no issue, but just make sure you do the interview. And so we had Bonds in for an interview. I'll never forget as long as I live. Bonds comes in and we talked to him about being a hitting coach. He had never been a hitting coach. It was the worst interview I'd ever been a part of, because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm in a room with Barry Bonds, which I still have those moments. Even in 18 years running a team, you have those, oh my God, moments. And this is Barry Bonds, right?
Yeah, that's pretty wild that it was affecting you that way, that you're in a room with Barry Bonds and you're about... What you're doing is going about an interview in which the end result would be your Barry Bonds' boss. That's got to be wild.
It happened with Don Mattingly. It happened so many different times during the course of my career where you have to separate business from awe. And I was there to do business. And Bonds was being an absolute pain in the ass about pay because he knew he had the job. And Jeffrey had promised him an amount. And I said, Jeffrey, we're not paying him that amount. Do you know what we had to do? Oh my God, I'm doing it. Yeah. I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, he gave enough of shit to
we
not call
paid
him a dick.
Him off.
You're about to call him a dick. You're about to call him a dick. We all heard it.
You paid him off in what?
off the books.
You guys buried the lead. You missed it because you were too busy listening to Dan, who just appeared like the Wizard of Oz, who I can't even see on the Zoom, and his voice
just came
out of nowhere.
You know the Wizard of Oz was only 40 years old when they filmed that movie? People aged differently back in 1939. Continue. You paid him off the books?
So we paid him separately so we would not be looked at as paying him as much as we were paying him. And I actually had to tell a fib to Larry Bear of the San Francisco Giants. Larry, I'm sorry. I lied to you. I told you that we were only paying him 300 grand, but we were paying him well over $1 million.
Oh,
but we paid
gosh.
His holding company a separate amount of money that was not on the books. I mean, it was not illegitimate. It wasn't drug money. He had a holding company and we paid him, but his actual contract was for a normal amount for a hitting coach, but he would not be a hitting coach for less. I said to Jeffrey, he doesn't deserve this. And what are we going to say to the other coaches? And he said, I don't care. I said, Jeffrey, we can never tell anyone that we're giving him this amount of money. And Jeffrey said, do whatever you have to do. So we spoke to Barry Bonds and his agent, and he had a holding company. And so we had two separate contracts, one with the holding company and one as a regular standard coach's contract. We never told the other coaches because Jeffrey had promised Perry Hill that he would be the highest paid coach. Sorry, Perry, you were not the highest paid coach. So this went on and on. And during the interview, Bonds interviewed as though he had the job already. And he had fun being a hitting coach because he would hang out with Stanton and give Stanton some pointers, but he was ineffective completely. He would sleep in the clubhouse. He would not pay attention during games. He did not work hard. It was a complete disaster. And somehow, yada, 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 we got Jeffrey not to renew his contract. And that's why he was the hitting coach for only 1 year.
Had you ever done anything like that off the books before?
No, absolutely not.
Was he any good? Because I remember being in a clubhouse with him. Rich Aurelia was stuck. I should say, how bad was he as a hitting coach? Because Rich Aurelia was stuck on something, and Barry just came over, and he's like, Rich, you don't know what you're doing wrong. It's this and this and this. And Rich Aurelia just looks up and says, yeah, I'm not Barry Bonds. Like, I'm sorry.
That's the point, right, Dan? That's why Isaiah Thomas and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, it's hard to be a good coach if you're a great player because you see things that other people can't see. Barry Bonds would always talk to me about how he saw the ball and how he picked up the ball and how he knew the spin on the ball faster than everyone else. And you can't really teach that. The Barry Bonds story that sums up Barry Bonds is when D. Gordon was busted for steroids. He had to tell the team in Los Angeles that he was being suspended. And we made D meet the team. And so we're in the team meeting. D is apologizing for doing steroids or for getting caught for doing steroids. He never admitted he did steroids. And Barry Bonds, in the middle of the clubhouse, he's standing toward the back door. He screams, oh, this is crap. And he walks out. I look at Mike Hill and I say, are you kidding me? Like, Barry Bonds just stormed out as though he can't believe one of the players did steroids. Is that really possible?
Did you confirm that he was angry, that he was upset and disappointed in D. Gordon, or he was upset that D. Gordon allowed himself to be caught?
Yeah,
I couldn't have cared less, and I don't care now why he did it. But the team looked at Bonds and just said, "What are you doing?" And that's what he was like. It was all about Barry. We had to do so many special things for him in terms of how he traveled, in terms of the hotel and the suite and the food and the money. And it was an absolute nightmare. Now, he's a superstar. There's no doubt about it. But he didn't sell a ticket. He didn't do anything to benefit the team at all. There were certain relationships he had with certain players that were decent, but no one got better because of him.
His relationship with Stanton was pretty good, right? Wasn't he helpful to Stanton?
And Jose too, Chris Cody tells me.
Yeah. Well, he was. Oh, I remember him always being in the dugout next to Jose. Him and Jose seemed to get along.
So it's funny what happens during a game. You'd be surprised how many people know where the cameras are.
Wow. So he would just plop up next to Jose and Stanton for some camera time.
If you're going to try to get your reputation back and get into the Hall of Fame, who exactly would you hitch your star to on the Marlins? I'm just curious, if you had to choose back then who you want to get on your side and who you want to be friendly with. I'm just asking.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
Exactly. Say no more. He was very helpful to the backup catcher. Very helpful.
Give us somebody else who lasted a year or less, or you'd consider a more disastrous hire than that one.
Brad Arnsberg was probably the most disastrous hire pitching coach I ever had. But again, we were told to hire him. We had no choice but to hire him.
And that happens so much in all these stories.
All these stories. Are any of them your fault? Like,
which bad one is your fault?
No, hold on. But also, we were forced to sign Pudge, right? So please don't misunderstand. When an owner wants something done, Jeffrey was very loyal. There is a theme between the people Jeffrey wanted around him. He used to own the Oklahoma City 89ers. Brad Arnsberg was a player. Mike Berger was a player. Perry Hill was a coach in the Texas Rangers organization. Tommy Thompson was the manager who ended up being taken care of by Jeffrey for the rest of his life. Tommy Thompson was a pro scout with the Marlins, who Jeffrey continued to pay even when Tommy was sick and could not scout because of his loyalty to Tommy Thompson. So please do not misunderstand. When Jeffrey wants something done, he overpaid Perry Hill for years and years and years because of his loyalty to Perry Hill. So that is something that you have to recognize.
Tell us about Arnsberg.
Just wasn't impactful. And he was a red ass. He was disrespectful. And we created these monsters is the problem. When you know you've got the owner saying that you will never get fired, then how do you act any other way than entitled? But we got the last laugh so many times because Larry and I would gang up and get people fired. Firing Brad Arnsberg was one of the great pleasures of my career.
One last question about Barry Bonds. We talked about the shadow ban that Major League Baseball had on him.
What does shadow ban mean?
Shadow ban means you're banned, but not formally. Like, there isn't a paper trail that says you're banned. Colin Kaepernick right now, although there was a settlement, so we don't know exactly. There's like a shadow ban. There's nothing on the official books like Pete Rose that says don't hire this
Barry
person.
Bonds' last season was exceptional. There's no circumstance under which you can tell me he shouldn't have played another season after that, given his production.
Which is where I'm getting at. Did you guys have any internal discussions about hiring Barry Bonds the hitter after he had a really good season in Major League Baseball, and it seemed as though Major League Baseball collectively decided we just don't want this person around anymore?
That was never going to happen financially. Barry Bonds was not the type of player who was going to take under what he thought he was worth, so he wasn't going to take a pay cut. Who was that player who wouldn't sign? Was it Latrell Sprewell who said, I'm not $8 million, I'm not playing
his family.
For that?
He had to feed his family.
I have to feed my family.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Give me the list of guys that you consider. When you say overpaid, you mentioned a bunch of different people. When you think of people the Marlins most overpaid, and this doesn't have to be like a Giancarlo Stanton contract, but just a situation where you found yourself saying, man, we gave that person a lot of money given how little they did for us. Who are the first ones that come to mind? Is it Barry Bonds?
No, I mean, because that's a one-year deal at $1.5 million. That's not even, I mean, that just goes away after a year and you move on. To me, an overpay has to be, even Al Leiter, which was one of the worst signings of all time, $8 million for 1 year when we thought he'd anchor the rotation at 05, and he was just disastrous that we had to end up releasing him. That almost got me fired, actually, because I thought Al Leiter would be great. Bring him back, the Marlins, there'd be a tie-in to, you know, previous Marlins teams, and he'd be a veteran on a staff. When we had just signed Delgado, we thought we'd win that year. He was terrible. Giving the extra year to John Buck was disastrous. The extra any year to Salta Lamakia, there's a theme here. So there are plenty of mistakes, but so every team has them. What bothers me about this show is you guys on the local hour want to focus on everything that went wrong as though we were completely inept and that Jeffrey was this ogre. But the fact of the matter is we had great baseball people. We had great drafts. We had great players. We had a World Series. So there are, every team in baseball has players who they overpaid. Everybody, but you make it sound like we're the only ones.
I resent that because over the pandemic, when we were doing those shows out of the condo building that Dan had owned 90% of, we covered we covered the 2003 Florida Marlins at length, and we had some very good shows. I think it's comparable to just your overall time with the Marlins. 10% of it was good.
Are you waiting for a response on your math?
I think he was looking for laughter from anybody in the room. Chris's was scared behind a mask. I turned off my microphone so you wouldn't hear me laughing in your face.
You can laugh. By the way, that's what you do. That's
but
the
you guys had two winning seasons. You guys had a championship season and the Girardi Manager of the Year season. Was there another winning season in there?
Yeah, of course. We won. We were over 500 in 04, in 05, in 09, in 03.
No, you had you had some good teams after the first World Series. It never really resulted in a playoff appearance. Would you have made it if they had expanded playoffs? I think there was that big series.
But we were in the race in September. Yeah. The year Jose died, we were not eliminated the day he died. We were still in the race the end of September of 2016. We were very often in the race, but again, people don't remember, and that's fine. I get it. And I wanted to get back to the playoffs as badly as you guys did. But to call the overall 16 years of failure to me is just not accurate.
Well, it can't be because you have the one championship in there. But your reign, you understand this, right? You think it's unfair for your reign to be associated with betrayal and mistrust?
Yes. I think that you're the one who foments that. You want that to be the case because it helps give you great content. Oh, look, there's Samson again. We have to excuse why we bring on this guy every week, and we bring him on because he sucks so bad in Miami, and he's such a hated guy in Miami that we'll bring him on so our fans, our huge loyal fan base, has an opportunity to shit on him like we are.
Dave, I didn't strip down your team twice. You did that. I didn't strip down a bunch of
because
players that
people
like. Because
you were never in the position. You're too busy getting credit for rehiring Chris when ESPN fires him.
Hell yeah.
And patrolling around the world like you are the king CEO because you brought on Chris as your personal assistant.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dan. Also, number one sports rated podcast.
Yeah.
The amount of genuflecting that goes on in that studio makes me smile. And the fact that I don't genuflect in your general direction just causes you to react to me the way you
do. I didn't have a shadowy secret account that I was paying Barry Bonds from while lying to reporters. I honestly hired Chris back.
Yeah,
that was totally above board and perfect because you need a personal assistant.
What
does he do?
Does
he make your plane reservations?
He didn't do anything.
He hasn't done
actually.
Anything.
I'm waiting for him
so
to do the first
done.
Thing. I
so
couldn't reach
done.
Him on the phone most times that I called him.
I appreciate you giving it back to us there, David. You're right. It was better than it was good more often than just 10% of the time. And I will say, in our defense, we also give you the platform to defend yourself. Not that you don't have your own platforms, but it's good that you can give it back to us.
I don't need to defend myself on any platform. The reason I come on the show with you guys is because I want to give your audience the opportunity to hear two sides of a story, because you paint one side, and that's what makes good radio from your standpoint.
Let me address this for you and for the audience, because there has been, we seem to have been shadow banned by the Marlins because we can't get any Marlins on no matter when we ask for them. And I'm pretty sure it's because simply we talk to you every week, given the number of conversations I've had with Marlins people about the idea that they don't understand why it is that you're on with us every week. And so I will explain it to you and everyone else in the audience, as you think I bend over backwards in order to apologize away for the reason that you're on with us. I like your content, period. That's what it is. I allow the listener to be discerning about whether or not they believe you or not. I have found you to be almost always honest, except when you're lying to San Francisco reporters about Barry Bonds' secret shadow salary. So
I never said reporters. Can you get the story straight?
Who did you lie to?
Larry Bear is not a reporter. He's the president of the Giants who asked me how much we were paying him.
Okay, I'm
spoke
sorry.
To San Francisco reporters.
Man.
the names that are being dropped. Just be accountable
when you have a platform of the number one show. Try to just be honest about who I said what to, please.
Yes, okay, fair enough. And you said, though, and I don't know what to do with this because this is the perfect microcosm for our relationship with David Sampson. I'm sitting here calling him someone that I believe to be a truth teller while he's admitting to a lie, which is the truth that he lied. But he lied, and that's the truth. Like, most people don't admit that they lied, and this is the conundrum that is the shadowy figure of grayness that is David Sampson.
I believe him to be 100% honest right now. I do. My reservations about David when he was team president was he couldn't be honest with us. And he was more honest than we probably deserved, but there were convenient fibs being told
at
the time.
He's unusually honest for an executive in sports, period. No, now for sure, but I'm saying always. He's always been.
You understand, that's why I would get in trouble all the time for being on your show back then, is because there were no other team presidents who were doing what I was doing with you guys. And this was before podcasts. This is before that you had the reach that you have now. We were doing segments back in the day that weren't, we called them movie segments, but they really were not movie segments. We spent 15 minutes a week talking about stuff that was not being talked about in any other market.
Before we get to movies this week, I want to ask you again about Jazz Chisholm, because the blue hair, he likes where the cameras are. Like Barry Bonds, he knows exactly where they are. I love watching this kid play. He's exciting. He's a bit of a throwback player because he has speed. He can hit for contact, and now he's showing some power. That home run that he hit off DeGrom was literally unprecedented. We've never seen that hit before. So what is your takeaway on this kid? Because I'm buying the stock. I really hope that this kid is here for a long time. I like him.
There's so many trades in baseball that are money trades. Jazz Chisholm is a Marlin because of a baseball trade. That was a straight baseball trade with the Diamondbacks, trading Zach Gallen and getting back Jazz Chisholm. When you've got a lot of pitching, you need position player, you need offensive help. Look at the Marlins. Although they're doing well right now, they do need offensive help. That was a great trade for both teams because you answer a need and there was no money involved. And the Marlins, from their standpoint, what Mike had told me about Jazz is they expect him to be a perennial all-star level player, what they would call a B, a high B player, which means he is going to be in the conversation for all-star year after year, someone who's going to be at the top end of the arbitration scale. And they had Zach Gallen also as a B pitcher. And B pitchers happen to be very, very valuable and hard to find. And that's why the trade has a chance to be really good for both teams.
Zach Gallen might be a little higher than a B right now. That dude's dynamite. I think as much as I love Jazz, I think I'd rather have Zach.
You bring up a great point. And when you've got the depth of pitching that the Marlins have, you've got to make a choice. You've got it. And the Marlins made a choice. And I think it was a good choice because Jazz has a chance. And the position players they got when they traded away Stanton and Yelich and Ozuna, they obviously have not done as well as the Marlins hope. But with Jazz, they may have hit a home run.
So we had a situation around here with Tim Anderson, Chicago White Sox, had a lot of personality, came on the show with us, told us baseball is boring, said some other things, never appeared anywhere on our show or any show ever again. No, shadow banned.
I think that's just a ban.
The White Sox have been banned from appearing with us. I've heard that Tim Anderson basically doesn't do any more interviews like that after he said that. Is baseball going to scrub the personality out of Jazz Chisholm? Or has a new young player arrived throughout baseball where this is going to finally move, led by, you know, Bryce Harper?
So baseball has never wanted Miami to have the lead player. They want the personality to come from the bigger markets, whether it's LA or New York. And so when they're promoting, even when they're promoting Yelich from Milwaukee, they're doing in conjunction with Bellinger from Los Angeles. So there's always an anchor tenant, if you will, in a big market, and they just don't view Miami as that because it hasn't been historically. So they're not going to put their marketing weight behind Jazz Chisholm. No chance.
No, but I'm asking you if the baseball, the sport itself, will scrub, not allow him to be a cocky baseball player.
I just want to be careful, make sure that we're not doing a black player. Tim Anderson is a bit more swag than Jazz Chisholm. However, Jazz Chisholm did talk shit about DeGrom in ways that we haven't really seen.
He's got blue hair!
Yeah, but that's
basically... Wait, what does being a black player have to do with it?
What does having blue hair have to do with it? I think if we're taking those two variables into it, perhaps one matters more than the other.
When I think of blue hair in baseball, I think of the demo, old women in the crowd when I think of blue hair. Blue hair gets baseballs thrown at it in baseball.
It sounds like we're projecting they're going to take the personality out of him, and I think you may be projecting even more personality than the player might actually have because he's a black player with blue hair.
Wow.
Great sentence.
I can't tell if you're being careful as a producer or if we just
He's being unnecessary. No, he's being unnecessarily
careful. I feel like we're
talking
in code. I feel like we're talking in code when it comes to Jazz Chisholm.
I'm not talking in code.
If I am talking in code, baseball does more than just talk in code. They throw baseballs
in
code.
They'll throw baseball at him.
We're talking in code. I need the glossary because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Just the swaggy player is the minority often. It's the Latin player. It's a black player. And that's probably quantifiable. It's also quantifiable that they get hit more with baseballs. So I just wanted to say what wasn't being said and probably should have just kept it unsaid.
I don't think that added anything to the show at all.
He's the Barry Bonds of this show. He came in here and offered so many qualifiers and so much protective wokeness that we got tangled up and uninteresting and boring. What is the movie you're reviewing this week?
Can I review Thunder Force?
Mike is broken. He's wounded.
You know, when you're right, you're right. I was just trying to be like, whoop.
Hold on. Stop.
You just seized on Tim Anderson being black.
Who's white with her husband, Ben Falcone. And it's so bad that I didn't laugh one dime. And it's got an Oscar winner named Octavia Spencer, who's such a good actress, who's black. Who cares? It doesn't matter what color anyone is.
Color
the
is
movie
her hair.
Is so bad that I thought to myself while watching, is it possible that Melissa McCarthy made this movie because she lost a fight with her husband, Ben? That is what was in my head, that they had a fight and he said, you know what, honey, I wrote this movie. You're going to star in it and it's going to be crap.
I think I saw a photo of Jason Bateman and he had crab arms from that movie. It's just Jason Bateman with crab arms.
I was thinking about Jason Bateman, who I love. You know, I love one of my favorite movies is the one he directed about the spelling bee. And, I've thought of him while filming the movie and doing the dance scene, like the ABBA dance scene. Did you see this movie? That crab, they did it. It's so
I have
bad.
Not seen this movie, and nor will I now, based off of this review.
But is this when he had the crab hands?
Yes, he has crab hands, and he's known as a miscreant, a crab. Jason Bateman, it must be a paycheck. It must be a paycheck after Ozark, but I don't know.
Mike,
so bad.
Do you think that we could go the rest of the show every time we mention a name saying something like Bud Selig, who is white, having the parenthetical every time saying what someone's nationality is so that you simply can't escape it in sports? Like, so we make it totally unescapable in every single sentence that we're speaking about anybody.
I can't help but feel like you're taking the piss now. And
by the way,
this.
It's race, not nationality.
Well, but it could be anyone. It could be Hispanic. It could be Native American. We can do this with anybody. I think we should, through the show today, every single time we mention anyone's name, we should say their race or nationality.
Just wanted it to be noted for the record.
It goes without saying.
You said like I was saying some sort of controversial comment. Will baseball love the black dude with blue hair? Like I'm speaking in code. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. That's it. That's the inflection point. We've now hit it.
We're just covering our bases. I thought you'd appreciate that. You of all people.
Covering bases, baseball.
There he is, yes, ladies Chris. And gentlemen. Chris Cody in studio today. Yeah!
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit. And that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.